It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and my next guest, Michael Zoss of Washington, Iowa, saved some very special historical treasures from a trip to the dump. The treasures he discovered are known as the Brinton films, and some of them will be shown on the big screen for the first time in decades this weekend, the Brinton Extravaganza. It will take place on Sunday at 2 p.m. and Monday at 6:30 p.m. at the Historic State Theater in Washington, Iowa. You can buy tickets at icfilmscene.org. And with me to talk about these treasures is Michael Zoss. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Well, it's great to be here.
And also with me is Greg Prickman, head of special collections at the University of Iowa. Hello, Greg.
Hi there.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
And so, Mike, I want to go back in time to when you first encountered these films. As I mentioned, you saved them from a trip to the dump. They were in a box with a label that certainly made them look like garbage. How did you find them?
The Brinton family were entertainers in Washington at the turn of the last century. And I knew of them. I did not know that any of their material still existed. And by chance, ran into a man who was cleaning out his father's basement. And his father had been executor to the last Brinton estate. And he was wanting to get rid of this material. And so we met, and I moved three pickup loads out of a basement. And as you said, some of it was in boxes labeled Brinton CRAP.
So it was definitely headed to the dump.
It seemed that the future was in doubt.
All right. And you knew enough about the Brinton family to know that you wanted to make sure you saw what was in those boxes. So tell me a little bit about Frank Brinton. Who was he?
Frank Brinton was born in 1857, to put him in time, and he started doing world traveling when he was a young man. Became very, very interested in other cultures, particularly those of the Middle East. And his father was there. He went to visit his father. He took magic lantern slides. He gathered costumes. He came
and
back.
Magic lantern slides, what are those?
Magic lantern slides were projected images on a glass slide that magic lanterns were the top form of entertainment in our country in the 1700s and 1800s. And it's almost completely forgotten as an entertainment form. It would be a PowerPoint type thing in the 1700s and 1800s.
Okay, so you like projecting an image up on a wall, so making it a big image, which was something that you just didn't see very often back then.
No, and he opened up the world to much of the Midwest by bringing in magic lantern slides and then singing with them and wearing the costumes. And then he started traveling on the Chautauqua circuit. And then when moving pictures became available, he was always a forward-looking person. He started showing moving pictures before almost anyone else in this part of the country.
Right. So Thomas Edison was making films as early as 1894, and Brinton got his hands on film in 1895?
He was starting to show films probably as early as 1895.
Wow. So he was an early adopter.
Right. Right.
And this turned into a really lucrative career for him, right?
Yes. He married in 1898, and he and his wife, Indiana, then traveled much of the country. And they could make $150 a day. Well, that doesn't sound like much now, but when many people at that time were maybe making that a year, you know, they were very highly paid, perhaps the highest paid people in Iowa, because they might give 300 shows a year. They could draw a crowd of 1,000 people into a town that had a population of 20.
Wow, that's incredible.
And they were good at what they did. There were other traveling projectionists, but the Brintons just seemed to know what people wanted and how to present it.
All right, so as time went on, of course, moving pictures became much more common, easier to find. What happened to these early films?
Well, the Britons were on the road traveling until about 1908, and then they managed the Graham Opera House in Washington and continued to show things there. Mr. Britton's health failed, and he died in 1919, and this collection just remained in their home until Mrs. Britton died in 1955, and then the executor miraculously moved these things to his basement, and that was where I found them then in 1981.
All right. And now a basement seems like a terrible place to keep this material. Oh. What kind of condition was it in when you found it?
Not only was a basement not a good place, it was a basement right beside a coal stoking furnace, so it was covered with coal dust and rat.
Okay. So not in great condition? Some of it was in surprisingly good condition, right?
Yeah. Most of it was in surprisingly good condition.
All right, so it was luck.
Indeed. The Library of Congress has said there is no explanation why these films survived. They have films that deteriorate under ideal conditions, and there was nothing ideal about how these films had been kept.
All right. Well, I want to turn to you, Greg Prickman. As I mentioned, you've been sitting and listening to this remarkable story. Greg Prickman is the head of special collections at the University of Iowa. How did you get involved with these films?
Well, it's all through Mike. Mike approached us and described what he had and some of the things that he had done with it. And we really just kind of went from there. To me, it was very clear as soon as I had some experience with what he was talking about, that this was a really interesting collection. It's one thing to say that the film survived, and that's great, and that happens from time to time. A film will be recovered and found. But the fact that you have the films and records of the films, along with the catalogs that they used to purchase them from, the account book that lists out the towns that they were in and the date and the amount of money that they made, the tickets that were distributed at those shows. We have boxes full of tickets. The projectors, the cases that the material came in. This is the material history of this activity that so often just vanishes because it's not as timely. It's outdated. So people put it away. They throw it away. But in this case, it was put away, but it all survived.
So this is obviously there were people collecting films and showing films all over the country, all over the world at the time that Frank Britton was doing that. But how rare is this kind of collection?
I would say that it's rare. There are other collections like it, and it tends to be, I think, a situation where there's a family involvement in the business. And so it becomes almost like family papers that might be kept or passed down. And that's, in essence, what this collection is. There's quite a bit of print material that has nothing to do with the entertainment business or the films or anything else, but it's all part of the same group of material. But it is rare that these things survive, or if they survive, that they're kept together. Because so often somebody might encounter some of this stuff and say, well, this has value, but this other stuff doesn't. And so it won't necessarily be kept together. In this case, it's been kept together. It's been kept in the same location in which the material was originally used. And by virtue of it coming to special collections at the University of Iowa, it will remain very closely associated with that same geographical region. So that's a pretty unusual occurrence when you have all of those factors coming together.
What kind of process did you have to go through to restore this film and to make sure that it will last for the future?
There's a variety of types of film involved here, and then there are a lot of other formats of material. So this is a quite complicated collection for a repository like ours. So, of course, we're digitizing the film. We're digitizing it at a very high resolution so that hopefully it will persist into the future as formats change and we can continue to maintain the digital format. But, of course, we're also saving the film that has survived. Some of it is here. Most of it is already at the Library of Congress in the National Nitrate Film Vaults. But the process of identifying which pieces are which and reassociating these things together, that's just what we're in the midst of doing. And that's what you will see some of the results of at the shows this weekend. are some of the first results of a broader digitization program involving the Library of Congress to bring some of these things back together again.
Wow.
But then we also have the magic lantern slides. We have the paper materials. And all of those require different handling and treatment. So it has been quite complicated.
Can you still project the magic lantern slides?
You can, and if you come to the State Theater in Washington, Iowa this weekend, you will see some of the magic lantern slides projected on one of the projectors from the time. So you will also see images from magic lantern slides projected digitally, and you will also be able to see a real difference between what that experience was like. But you will be able to see what it looked like on the equipment from the time.
And in a few minutes, I will be doing a program using the original magic lantern slides on a 1913 projector.
Wow. What is that like? What goes into that, Mike?
Oh, I've done this for many years, and it's fun, and I like to have people realize that not only are these slides from here, the projector was made in Iowa. This is an Iowa story, and I want people to realize how important we are in the whole projection and entertainment business.
Do you remember when you first got to actually see some of these slides or some of this film projected after you pulled it out of the truck that was headed to the dump? You know, you knew you had something, but was there a moment when you actually got to see this film when you really had that full realization of what you had saved?
The Library of Congress copied some of the films, not all, but some of them onto 16-millimeter film, and got those back to me early on. And I started using them in my classes. And my students cleaned much of the material, at least the initial cleaning. And so that was fun to involve kids in this, and they got excited. And so from the very beginning, I said, sometime people are going to realize what this collection is and its importance. And it's only taken 30 years.
Wow. Now, you're also showing these films in a very special location. Can you tell me about the theater?
The theater in Washington is developed from the Graham Opera House, which was built in 1893. And most towns, even very small ones, had opera house space. And then as different technologies came in, the slides and then eventually the movies in about 1895, 96, it just adapted to all those things. And the State Theater, which is what it's called now, we will be showing some of the original color movies on the Brinton's original restored projector. The Special Collections had the original hand crank projector restored.
Wow.
And we will be showing those movies on the original projector and the original space. And the State Theater in Washington is the longest-running movie theater on Earth.
In the entire world.
In the entire world.
That is incredible.
And it's
by quite a bit as well.
Yes, I think it could be by as much as 12 years.
Wow. So to project this film, I mean, are you projecting the original film? Doesn't that put it at risk to go through this process?
We are projecting the original images on safety film.
Okay.
Not on the original cellulose nitrate film, because it was subject to explosion at any time. And there's all kinds of safety features on the projector to keep it from exploding, but it still did.
Okay, all kinds of safety features? Can you give me, don't you have to hold a heat shield by hand?
You have to hold a heat shield by hand while you're cranking with another one.
So very high-tech safety features.
Yes, and Greg will be reading some of the instructions about this while we're doing this, and it says if it catches fire, just wait till the smoke clears and continue the program.
Well. Yeah, they're very dismissive of the danger. They acknowledge the danger, but essentially say, if you burn a hole in one frame of your film, don't worry. Just keep going with your performance.
Wow.
You know, let the smoke clear and just get on with
things. The show must go on.
It must go on. Yeah.
All right. Well, you only have a couple of minutes left, and there are so many different kinds of images involved in these films. Greg, do you have a favorite?
Do I have a favorite? It's almost impossible to pick a favorite because the variety is so great.
So give us an idea of the variety.
Well, you know, what people would expect when they would go to see moving pictures is probably a little different than what we're used to. So you would have a whole range of things. Some of it is entertainment, and that takes the form of slapstick. Some maybe you could call it drama. But there's a lot of other kinds of material. So there's actuality film, and that could be a newsworthy event that somebody captured on film. It's when you look through these catalogs, it's things like there was a fire in Chicago, and here's you know, 5 minutes of people fighting the fire. And I think some of that stuff is probably my favorite because that's where you get this time travel sort of head warp where, and I think in particular in an environment like we'll be in this weekend, where it's easy to put a medieval manuscript in front of someone and have them look at it. But they're not going to be doing that in the cathedral where it was read from,
right.
And the, you know, all these things.
So you're really recreating the environment.
You're back to where it was actually taking place.
Mike, do you have a favorite film that will be shown this weekend?
There are so many. We will be showing the earliest known film from Egypt, the earliest known film from India. We'll be showing the very first newsreel footage ever made, and that is significant because it was the hurricane in Galveston, and the head of the mayor of Galveston ordered anybody photographing to be shot on site.
Oh,
and they still went ahead and
So there's not a lot of footage of that.
Yeah. And we'll accompany slides and film with live chamber music, which is
wonderful.
Just tremendous.
Well, Michael Zoss, thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Michael
Zoss.
Yeah, Michael Zoss is the collector of the Brinton films and organizer of the Brinton Extravaganza coming up this weekend. Greg Prickman, thank you.
Thank you.
Greg Prickman, head of special collections at the University of Iowa. These films will be shown at the historic State Theater in Washington, Iowa on Sunday at 2 p.m. and Monday at 6:30. This is Talk of Iowa.